What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. How's everybody feeling out there today? Oh, boy. I tell you, that last monologue episode that we did, I think almost broke my email inbox. If you haven't listened to it, maybe go back and listen to it. It's about getting ready. It's about getting us prepared for what is coming. Earthquake kits are still being emailed out as I record this. I am still sending them out, and you are welcome to email me if you want one. And same with the free helium miner. I mean, to say the response to that opportunity was amazing would be an understatement. I literally was at my desk till like 3 o'clock in the morning, copy pasting email addresses. Happy to do it. I think we should all be, thinking about these things. We should be taking advantage of this time that we have. So if you're interested in getting that earthquake kit that I had, that just the itemized list of everything that was in it, and it's by no means meant to be an exhaustive list, you can just use it as a template. Good things to have. Maybe you want to add things to it or some things you want to take out, make it specific to you. But I've got that. I'll email that to you. If you want to get the free helium miner, I'll email that to you too. You can just do that at the Octopus of Global Control at protonmail.com, or you can go through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com, and you can click on the contact us button, put your information in, and all you have to do in the subject line, you don't have to do a big thing or anything. Just say, send me the earthquake kit, or send me the helium miner, or put me on the list, or both, or whatever. And I'm happy to do it. It's no problem. It's my pleasure to do that. I think we should start thinking about things differently. And by the way, a follow-up, I have the co-founder of that helium company coming on. I've already recorded the episode. It is amazing. You're going to really like him. He's a smart guy. He's a likable guy. He's one of those guys that sort of quietly knows exactly what the fuck is going on out there. You know, he knows what we're facing. He sees it. I like that. You know, I'm always, you never know. You figure some people are busy. Maybe they're not into these topics and everything. He's like, we have a lot in common. We have a lot to talk about. And I was like, okay, cool. So you're going to get that. That'll come out in a couple weeks. And you can, You can geek out and get into that. And I also want to say, for everybody that emailed in asking, you know, requesting to be put on the list, and all of the nice messages and things, I read them all. I read literally hundreds of them. Thank you so much. I will never be able to express how appreciative I am for this nice little group of people. Well, I guess it's not quite as little of a group of people as I maybe once imagined it was. It's turned into quite a big group. I'm humbled. I'm motivated to do such a good job. I don't want to let any of you down. It's really important to me that I do good work and do work that is meaningful. So thanks for reaching out to me. I appreciate it. And we'll get down to it right after this, right after the business, right? So I gotta talk about the sponsors. The sponsors are an integral part of this whole operation as well, because, it sort of fits in with my philosophy, which is like, let's have some like-minded people on the show. Let's talk about issues that are important to us. Let's have sponsors that can solve some of these problems that we're facing and happen to be small businesses. And also, by the way, happen to understand the fight that we're up against and are interested in being on the right side of these things. So thank you to Chemical Free Body. They're just an easy sponsor to have because I believe in their products. I use their products. I just ordered three more bottles, technically four more bottles of Green 85, but three to me and one I sent to my mom. I would encourage people to go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro. You can see this little page that they put together for us that Tim put out there when I did the Total Energy and Detox Bundle, as he describes it. It's like a detox clinic and nature in a box. When I think detox clinic, I think a bunch of drunks in there trying to like dry out, but whatever, that's Tim's thing. But what you get are two containers of Green 85 juice formula. It's like a powder that you add to water, stir it up and drink it. Looks weird, tastes pretty good. Gut detox, toxin detox, probiotics, and ultra enzymes. You just take a couple capsules of these every day. It's the easiest regimen you can incorporate into your day, really. It's done in 5 minutes. And the 5 minute is just the drinking of the Green 85 juice. That's the part that takes the most, is just slamming that thing down. So I would encourage people to take a look, chemicalfreebody.com/macro when you're checking out. Also use the promo code macro to save yourself some money. They have free shipping and all that stuff. So definitely take a look. And C60 Purple Power, once again, helpful to have sponsors that you like and with products that work that you take every day. I take C60 every morning. I'm still doing it. I'm going to keep doing it until somebody tells me not to, or until Ken tells me that, we were just kidding. I love it. It's great. It's a liquid. It's like an oil. You just pour it in a teaspoon, drink it. Once again, that doesn't taste bad either. I'm lucking out with the products that actually don't taste bad, even though they're health food, which normally tastes like shit. But this stuff, it surprisingly tastes good. C60 is great, man. It's a naturally occurring molecule comprised of 60 carbon atoms that form something that looks like a hollow soccer ball. And if people don't know what that looks like, go to C60PurplePower.com and there's a little animation of it. It's a free radical sponge with the ability to neutralize free radicals and reset itself again and again. It's the most powerful antioxidant known. The guys that discovered it won the Nobel Prize for it. That's pretty good. They didn't even have to drone bomb any. Oh, wait, that's the Nobel Peace Prize. Never mind. Well, they didn't win that one. They won the good one, the one that you don't have to drone bomb people for. So check it out, man. I say go to the website and read about it. That I can live with. I'm not going to tell anyone what to do or what to buy. It's up to you. That's your choice. But I would strongly suggest you at least go to the website and read about it. Because what I've found, and you probably feel the same way, is that like once you never hear of something, and then you go and you read, you're like, what is C60 Purple Power? And then you read, and then you like, C60, what's that? Almost without fail, like a week later or a couple days later, I'll start seeing C60 or whatever the item is. I'll see it everywhere. You know, like once it's like you don't notice it, and then you read about it, and then you see it everywhere. So go to C60PurplePower.com, read up on it, see if it's right for you. If it is, on your way out at the checkout, use the promo code MACRO to save yourself some money and all of that good stuff. All right, now that the business is out of the way, Are you ready for a secret? Well, it's not really a secret. Book number three is done. I finished the editing on it. I am just working on formats, just formatting it to get it fixed. And well, I'm not going to be making very many friends in the woke community. I can assure you of that. They will come for me, in part because I outright challenge them to come for me. I tell them they don't have the balls. Some of them literally don't have the balls to come after somebody that'll fight back against them, and I'll fight back against them. And this book, oh man, I'm telling you right now. Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. That's what this episode is. I'm going to go into a little bit of detail about what I've been working on. I started writing this book in 2019. It's been a while. The book is called Hypocrisy, but it's spelled a little different. Hypocrisy is the Chrissy part at the end is replaced. It's hypocrisy, because what we've been experiencing lately is both hypocritical and crazy. So the full title is Hypocrisy: Surviving in a World of Cultural Double Standards. And I think it's fair to say that what we are experiencing, the society that we're living in, and I'm in America, but this isn't specific necessarily to America. I know it's happening all over the world. I've done a bit of traveling. I know the lies are ubiquitous. I mean, they're everywhere. This is not an America specific thing. The governments and the media and the people in positions of power, once they get there, they want to stay there. And in order to make sure that nobody challenges their rule, once they get in positions of power, they employ dirty tricks to stay in those positions. Lying to people, telling them one thing when they actually know that the exact opposite is the truth. This is standard operating procedure. And there's something about being a hypocrite to me that is really frustrating. We're all guilty of it. You know, we're all guilty of it on some level. The first parental time that I recognized that I was being hypocritical was when my daughter was a baby, and we were putting the baby cam up, you know, so you could watch it on this like remote control, you know, when the baby's sleeping, you can make sure that you can watch, you know, if you're a paranoid mother or father, you can watch and make sure that the baby's not turned over the wrong way, or if she or he starts yelling. Am I allowed to use genders? Just kidding. Make sure that they're, you know, not suffocating or whatever. So I'm installing this, or it gets installed, or we install it, and I'm watching this on my little monitor. And I remember thinking, this is so great. You know, I can totally spy on her. I can totally make sure that nobody is, you know, doing anything that she shouldn't be doing in there. And this is right when like the Edward Snowden release came out. And they're talking about the NSA spying on everybody. And I'm like, I'm such a fucking hypocrite. You know, I'm like setting up this surveillance apparatus in my daughter's bedroom and then reading the Edward Snowden releases and going, how dare they spy on us, as I'm also spying on it. So, but once again, you know what? It was actually kind of an interesting case for me, because I was like, yeah, but this is different. You know, I'm in charge of her safety. I have to make sure that I'm watching. It's like, I'm sure they say the same thing. I'm sure the NSA's got their list of excuses for why they should or could be doing the things to us that they're doing. And so we're all hypocritical, is my point, and to certain different degrees. And that's fine, because it happens. But I think recognizing your own hypocrisy and battling that and keeping it in check is one thing that you do if you are at least aware that you could potentially be hypocritical. So by recognizing it, you're already several steps ahead of most of these people who don't even recognize their outright hypocrisy. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to read a little excerpt from the book, which I actually didn't write. The great Caitlin Johnstone did. Not intentionally, though. She doesn't know she wrote it for the book. But I'm starting the book with this. From her, giving her credit, of course. It's a quote from Caitlin Johnstone. And if you are unfamiliar with her, she's a brilliant Australian writer. She's just got a way. I tell you, I think she's genius. She's a real shit talker, which I wholeheartedly appreciate. And it's one thing to be a shit talker, but you can't do it at an expert level unless you actually know what you're talking about. And she does. So I find her work to be outstanding, and so outstanding that I stole it. No, just kidding. I borrowed it. All right. We begin the book with this, and I'm not going to read the whole book, obviously. I'm just going to read you this. This is a couple pages from it, from the great Caitlin Johnstone. The screens tell us this is a perfectly normal and sane way of doing things. It is perfectly normal and sane to strip the earth bare and poison the air and the water in an economic system which requires infinite growth on a finite planet. People who say otherwise are raving lunatics. And the social engineers wonder why there's increasing disaffection and alienation among the populace. The screen tells us we need to drop explosives on Nation X because they need freedom and democracy trademark. We know we said that about Nation Y and Nation Z, and that went terribly wrong, but that's because it wasn't managed properly. Trust that it is good and proper for the citizens of Nation X to be killed with bombs and bullets, and then they wonder why people keep snapping and committing mass shootings. The screens tell us, of course this is the way things are. It's the only way things could ever be. Anyone who would try to change any part of this is either mentally ill or a Russian propagandist. And they wonder why people shut down and numb themselves with opiates. The screens tell us everything is great. Everyone is doing fine. Everyone is happy. Look how happy everyone is on this sitcom. If you aren't happy like that, it's not because of the machine. It's because of you. People need to be protected from your insanity. You mustn't be allowed on any screens. You need to be silenced on social media. Trust us. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust that growing, gnawing sense that everything is fake and everything you've been taught is a lie. We have never lied to you. We have never been caught red-handed deceiving you and then acted like nothing happened. We have never gaslit you. You are misremembering things because you are confused. Shut up. You are dangerous. Shut up. You are foolish. Shut up. You are insane. The machine is sanity. The machine is freedom. Everyone is equal here. Everyone matters. Everyone gets a voice except you. And the social engineers wonder why people are trusting them less and less. The screens tell us war is normal. Poverty is normal. Mass surveillance is normal. Censorship of dissenting ideas is normal. Mass media propaganda is normal. Escalating wealth and income inequality is normal. Escalating police militarization is normal. Escalating tensions between nuclear superpowers is normal. Looming ecological disaster is normal. And people wonder why everything feels like a bubble balancing on a house of cards that was built on top of a ticking time bomb. The screens tell us insane things are sane, sane things are insane, up is down, black is white, war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. If you disagree, you are crazy. If you disagree, you are poison. Shut up. You will contaminate the herd. Shut up. You are garbage. Shut up. You are disease. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. And the experts wonder why the old tricks are finding less and less psychological purchase. And we wonder why it's beginning to feel as though we are being startled out of a very long and horrible nightmare. And our rulers wonder, in their very few and sincere moments, if it was wise to build their empire upon a sleeping giant. That's how we're going to start this book off. Just in case anyone was wondering where we're going with this. I was not nice in the book. I didn't feel a need to be. I did not pull any punches. I footnoted everything so that when the people that feel attacked decide to attack back, well, I got the facts on my side, baby. You got emotion. I can prove you're a hypocrite. I don't have to just convince other people to believe it. I can show them. The book is broken down into 8 sections. You might say 8 tentacles. I go hard after the people's beliefs. That includes religion. There's nothing more hypocritical than religion. Now, for those of you that are very religious, it's all in your interpretation, you know? I know some people that are very religious that are really good people. I know some people that hide behind their religion, use it as a shield, because they're shitty. They're shitty people. But they want you to think they're good. Religion's guilty of this. There's a lot of hypocrisy in religion. And it's a sensitive topic, for sure. Because there are a lot of good people out there that believe what they believe, like I believe what I believe, and you believe what you believe. Is there a God controlling all of our movements and making this whole thing happen? Some people say yes. I don't know. But I'll tell you what I do know. I know that God doesn't give a flying fuck if you eat fish on Friday or don't eat fish on Friday or eat meat on Friday or whatever. That's superstition. Disguised as religion. There's a lot of intolerance stuffed in these holy books where they tell you to, you know, those people are the enemy and these people are the good ones and hate those people, but don't hate these people. There's a lot of bullshit in there. And that's not, you know, that's not to say that all organized religion is all bullshit. I don't say that. I don't think that. But when you've got some preacher standing up there on the stage at your local church, and he's going to tell you what happens to you after you die and where you go and what happens, I'm sorry. That guy doesn't know the answer to that. And I'm going to say it. And if that rubs some people the wrong way, well, I ask you, how would that guy know what happens to us after we die? I'm not saying he's not allowed to have an opinion on it. By all means, have an opinion on it. What happens when you die? Maybe nothing. maybe everything. Who knows? I don't know. I know one thing. I know one thing for sure. That guy on stage, he does not have the answer to that. He just doesn't. Now, he can wear a nice suit and he can say, he can stand up there and you could be watching this guy every Sunday for 30 years and you like him and you know that guy and he's a good guy and he wouldn't steer you wrong. But if he's going to stand up there and tell you that he knows what happens to you when you die, he's a liar. And I'm not going to be nice about this shit anymore. We're going to call it what that is. You know, we're going to call it out. And in the, you know, in the, in each unique religion has their own thoughts on these things. I'm fine with that. I'm interested in hearing everybody's hypothesis on this. But I'm not really interested in everybody telling me that that they have the absolute answer to what happens there. Is God real? I don't know. I mean, you could say, you know, I see God in when I look at my children's eyes or what when they're born and all that. Yeah, man. I mean, I guess it's a trip. There's no doubt about that. But I don't know. I don't know if I can just blindly go along with the preacher that stands up there and tries to tell me that they know how this all works. But it's not just religion, of course. I get into the business world too. God knows that the corporations that run this planet, and it's feeling like they run this planet. The corporations are run by people. You know, corporations are people too, right, Mitt? You weirdo. Guarantee you Mitt Romney keeps his black knee-high socks on when he's visiting with what's-his-name's prostitute in New York City. Sorry, that was a bad visual of a half-naked Mitt Romney for you. But corporations do run the world, unfortunately. And they have put policies and procedures in place that are that don't necessarily have our best interest in mind. And they're and then they lie about it and gaslight us and tell us that we're imagining this whole thing when in actuality we see what they're doing. We understand that big business has done quite a bit to damage us. We've got, you know, I won't go into too much detail, but like as an example, you know, when it comes to America's relationship with, say, the food industry, as an example, you, what have we heard our entire lives? High fat diets are really bad for you. Well, because, you know, it's got the word fat in it. And then if you're like, well, if I eat high fat diets, then I'll certainly be fat, right? And that's probably true if you eat a lot of fats, but there's different types of fats. And actually, it turns out that the demonization of the hazards of fat actually was financed by the sugar industry. Did you know that? Did you know that the sugar industry funded research that minimized the risks of sugar while promoting the hazards of fat? They basically went, that guy's the one that did it, not us. When you've got problems with your food, don't look at us. Don't look at sugar. Look at fat. So our businesses are run by humans, and sometimes the humans are defective, and therefore they run businesses the way they run their lives, defectively, pathologically. And so you wind up in a situation where you, instead of saying, you know, In order to have the best tasting milkshakes out there, I'm the CEO of McDonald's, and I'm going to decree that we make it with just the best ice cream and milk and sugar and whatever, you know, these four ingredients. And we'll just, you know, it'll cost a little bit more, but whatever. It's going to be the best milkshake out there. Well, that's not really how it works, because a McDonald's milkshake is made up of 50 different chemicals, including phenethyl alcohol and ethyl acetate in order to make it taste like real strawberries. We're not going to actually add real strawberries. Strawberries are expensive. We're going to add ethyl acetate. Just like mom used to make. Yeah, no, and obviously I'm not trying to say that McDonald's is the only one involved in this sort of behavior. It's clearly not. But big businesses need to be held responsible. I'm not polite in my calculations or in my assessment of what the business industry has done to human beings. Some of it is quantifiable in terms of the, you know, what they've done to some life expectancies of people in the name of profit. It's pretty disgusting. So businesses are definitely taken care of in this book. They don't get let off the hook. They shouldn't. They're as guilty as the government is in some of these things. And speaking of the government, well, the government gets their share in this. They get an entire chapter as well. Because when it comes to hypocrisy, I can't think of anything more hypocritical than politicians. And so we have a lot of fun with them in this book. I go back decades and find the things that they've said publicly, match them up against what they've done in their private life, and expose them for being the hypocritical narcissist that most of them are. And I'll be honest, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to do it. The problem is narrowing it down, because it's almost too easy. So if I wind up on the Clinton kill list, it might be because of the chapter about the Clintons. I think the book might be worth it just for what I do to the Clintons in this. And I'm not suicidal. Your Honor, let the record reflect that I am not suicidal, and also let the record reflect that I don't think the Clintons are worried about me. but in the event that anything were to happen, you can admit this book into evidence as the fact that I most definitely stirred up a hornet's nest when it came to them. I took a big old stick and walked up to their nest and just started whacking it. Because it deserves to be whacked. And when it comes to the Clinton, using the term whacked in the same sentence is also strangely appropriate. A byproduct of the governmental ass-reaming that I perform in this book is also the COVID hypocrisy. And, you know, I've been talking a lot about COVID in, you know, on this show, and we've been doing it on the Union of the Unwanted. We had a great episode recently with Dr. Robert Malone, the inventor of the mRNA technology, came on the show, and he was like, "How's everybody feeling about all this stuff out there?" And everyone was like, "I don't know. I mean, I guess okay, I guess, but not really." He's like, "I'm terrified," you know. So like, when the inventor of the technology is telling you, he's like, "I'm sure glad you guys are way more optimistic than me." And I'm like, "Well, I was until I started talking to you, and now I'm fucking scared. What do you know that I don't know?" He's like, "Oh, I've been working with the military for years and years." I was like, "You have?" You know, like, once again, you got a guy that is the inventor of the technology, much like Kerry Mullis, the inventor of the PCR test, coming out saying, "I got problems. They're using my device is being used for something other than what it was designed to be used for. So we've talked about COVID on this show a lot. We've talked about it on the Union of the Unwanted. Frankly, I'm tired of talking about it. I'm sure you guys are tired of hearing about it. It's getting into that sort of like fear porn world where it's like you it's just keeping everybody kind of buzzed and uncomfortable. But when you are talking about hypocrisy, meaning, you know, saying one thing, doing another, COVID is the most recent and probably freshest example of that. And so there's a lot of information in the book about COVID. There's a lot of information, I do what I've done in the other books, which is, you know, pack it with as much information as I can, but I just can't seem to take my snarky shit talking personality out of it too, because though I have all of the footnotes and the facts to back it up, and I come at this with a, you know, with a belief that it's going to, you know, that the book is going to be torn apart by critics looking to try and find some inconsistencies or some inaccurate statements. So I'm super paranoid when I'm writing it, but I still can't resist taking shots at guys like Fauci and Bill Gates and Cuomo's and all these people that have been driving this and Lori Lightfoot, that Beetlejuice looking weirdo, and Ted Wheeler and the governors and the mayors that you know, the mostly peaceful protest crowd and all that horseshit. I felt actually kind of bad during parts of it. I felt like I was. Like it was the proverbial clubbing of seals. You know, it was like too easy to expose their hypocrisy. It's so everywhere. You know, it's foundational. Their whole work is based on hypocrisy. The whole narrative is. So at its core, it's a gigantic lie. And so when you've got that to work from, it's really just sort of picking who do I want to. Who do I want to hold accountable for this? And the answer is, I want to hold everybody accountable. I want to hold everybody that's involved in this operation accountable. So I took my time in the COVID section. It's the biggest section in the book. It's because I couldn't leave components of it alone. I think that people are going to... I think people are going to be interested in it, even if they're feeling that COVID fatigue, because you're going to forget all some of these things. You'll come across it, and here's an example: Jay Inslee, right, Governor Jay Inslee, April 2020. He said this: due to COVID-19, I'm releasing 1,100 prisoners from prison. June 2020, like 60 days later, he says, those who refuse to wear a mask will be fined $1,000 and 90 days in jail. It's like, so you're letting the real prisoners out, and then within less than 60 days, because this was, he said that in April. And since, so a maximum of 60 days later, he said that if you refuse to wear a mask, he's now going to put you in jail. So you're releasing 1,100 prisoners from prison because of COVID, but then you're going to arrest people that won't wear masks and put them in jail because of COVID. And you understand that this book can write itself. When you start looking for things like that, I mean, there was so much that didn't go in. When your baseline for dealing with COVID hypocrisy, when it starts in March of 2020, and the people, the hysterics out there are telling you that you have to wear an N95 mask because you're going to kill grandma if you don't. And then on the side of said box of masks, it says, in all capital letters, warning, this product is an ear loop mask. This product is not a respirator and will not provide any protection against COVID-19, parentheses, coronavirus, or other viruses or contaminants. So that's where we start, right? We started with masks. We started with, you've got to wear a mask or everybody's going to die. And yet on the side of the box of masks, it says it doesn't work. This is, I put this in the same category of those assholes that tell you, well, today in kindergarten, we're going to learn about the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. And you're like, there's only one R there. You understand? If it were the three R's, the other two words would have to be misspelled. You're fired from teaching kindergarten. So we've got the equivalent of three R's when dealing with with COVID, the virus that's going to kill everybody. So I don't feel the need to politely explain, excuse me, sir, I think there might have been a mistake in your messaging. The time for being polite about this shit is long gone. I'm going to call you out for being a hysteric, for being an illiterate who can't turn the box to the side and read the warning on it. The time for politely asking you to refresh your statement is over. You put us in houses. In our houses and said 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and it's been a year and a half. So go fuck yourself. That's my public service announcement. So, you know, so we get into masks, we get into CDC guidelines. I just take a baseball bat to the CDC, if you were wondering, and the World Health Organization. You know, I think I here's the mask timeline, according to me. February 2020, masks don't work. April 2020, we only said that to save masks for ourselves. June 2020, wear a mask. September 2020, wear a mask to protect others. January 2021, why aren't you wearing two masks? March 2021, wear a mask because others have anxiety. May 2021, wear a mask or people will think you're a Republican. That's basically what has happened. That's basically the timeline of mask wearing and the reasons for wearing it. Now, keep in mind, this is still the same mask that on the side of the box says that it doesn't do its job. Okay? But the media is hysterical about this. And they have to have you wearing masks because, you know, science. Have I mentioned what one of the other sections is? Oh, if you've been listening to this podcast for any extended period of time, you better believe that the media is going to be one of them. And I bring my flamethrower. Let me tell you, I think that Don Lemon is going to need to check himself into his safe space after this book comes out. Because that dumb bastard isn't going to know what hit him. And look, it's not that I just am doing this to be mean or to have fun, though it is a hell of a lot of fun, I got to tell you. I do it because I'm insulted. You know, the media has insulted our intelligence. They stand there and tell us not to believe our eyes. And, you know, they don't realize, or maybe they don't care, or perhaps both, that their instructions have a real impact on a lot of people. Now, we know that the mainstream media are liars. We've known that. People that are paying attention, they know that. A lot of people aren't paying attention. Some of them are really dumb and they don't know better. But some people are just busy. Some people have never even really given it much thought about what their relationship with the media is. They don't care one way or the other. They don't love them. They don't hate them. They're just there, right? So they use the media as a resource. They still haven't figured out that the media is totally compromised. Like they're busy or they don't care. They just haven't figured that out. That's why it's important for us to hold the media accountable, because their actions, the things that they tell people with a straight face, presumably, to do or say or think actually impacts people in a real way. The gaslighting that the media uses, you know, it's a type of psychological abuse in which the abuser denies the victim's reality. And this is what the corporate media does to their dwindling viewer base every single night, as they make them try to forget everything that they know and convince them that their version of reality is correct, or that the enemy is right around every corner waiting to get them. You know, that the terrorists are there, or there's a virus there, or whatever. And so, you know, the media using tactics like gaslighting, I go into that, the different types of that, and there are different forms of gaslighting: stereotyping, diverting, denial, trivializing, withholding, countering. There's different tactics that they use. And when you read this, you're going to be like, holy shit, this is being done to me on a daily basis, not just by the media, but by people that you know, like bosses, girlfriends, whatever. You see these tactics, and you'll go. I don't even know if they know they realize they're doing this. You know, but the media knows that they're doing it. They understand these tactics. They understand subversion. They're great at it. So they have to be a part of this book. When you're talking about hypocrisy, when you're talking about, you know, when you're talking about hypocrisy, you've got to mention the media, right? I do this fun thing where I go through and I pull out headlines from the same journalist, and I put journalist in air quotes, right? Because nothing that they're doing is even resembling journalism at this point. But I put headline number one, then headline number two. Let's just start here. I'm going to go through part of the book, and I'm just going to find Jessica Valenti, reporter. By the way, she needs a boyfriend and a shrink. Okay, headline number one: the end of hisses, whistles, and stares. We need to walk the streets without fear. This is Jessica Valenti. Headline number two, also from Jessica Valenti: men rarely catcall me anymore. I hate that our culture makes me miss it. Jessica, you're mentally ill. Okay. Here's Yahoo News doing their thing. Headline number one: the hidden sexism in calling out Hillary Clinton's $12,000 Armani jacket. Headline number two from Yahoo News: Melania Trump wears $1,590 dress and stilettos again for second trip to Houston. Huffington Post, these fuckers at Huffington Post, they're the worst. Headline number one: Donald Trump prefers his steak well done, aka the worst possible way. Headline number two from Huffington Post: if you judge people for how they like their steak, you might be a Trump supporter. You fucking idiots. You don't even know that you're doing it to yourself. You're such liars. They can't even... They just can't even. Headline one, Elizabeth Cohen, CNN, not a doctor, but she plays one on the worst television network on the planet. This is her first headline. President Trump is wrong in so many ways about hydroxychloroquine studies. Here are the facts. Headline two, also from Elizabeth Cohen, also of that shit-stained CNN. Headline two, study finds hydroxychloroquine helped coronavirus patients survive better. Oops. Headline number one, Max Boot, Washington Post. Fuck Max Boot in advance, just so you know. He was a member of the Project for a New American Century. The guy's a neocon, warmongering piece of garbage. Headline number one by the infamous Max Boot. Trump's surprise Syria pullout is a giant Christmas gift to our enemies. Headline number two, also from Max Boot. Trump can't do anything right. We don't need troops in Syria. You see what I mean? We could do this all day long. I had so many of these, I had to just cut some of them out. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't keep going. But this is, it's important for us to put this out there, because there's something about seeing it visually. And that's what memes do that works so well. When you see, like, you know, in memes, look, putting two headlines up against one another and comparing how they contradict each other, I hardly invented this concept, okay? It's been done. But, and you see it great, especially in memes, where they'll take the, you know, like a screenshot of one headline and a screenshot of another headline from the same place that contradict themselves by, and maybe they're off by 6 weeks, and they'll put them together, and you see it. When you visually see it, you go, ah, you're liars, right? It's important to do that. So the media is going to take a beating in this book. And you know what? They have nobody to blame but themselves, because they've allowed themselves to become cartoonish in the way that they do their job. And nobody really wants to be described as cartoonish, the way they do their job. It's like, but that's how the media, I mean, they're just so over the top bad that you almost feel like, are you guys doing this on purpose? Is this part of some operation to make us hate you? Because, like, if I made a list of all the things that you could do to make me hate you, like, you couldn't do a better job than what you're doing right now. I almost feel like it's intentional. So the media is definitely going to take it right in the teeth from me on this one. And like the other components of the book, when you read it, you will go, yeah, it's warranted. I'm not like arbitrarily being a dick here. I'm pointing out their track record, which is abysmal. Like, I'm not even necessarily telling a lot of people things that they don't know. I'm laying it out in a logical manner that shows you how they want you to think, what they'll say to you, and then what they want you to think when their handlers have told them, well, we're changing the narrative now. All right, start saying something else, because all of a sudden it changes. No retractions, none of that good stuff. One of the tentacles of the hypocrisy octopus is just society in general. Societal and cultural norms, and that's where the sub headline comes in, surviving in a world of cultural double standards. It really gets into it in this chapter. We talk about celebrities, you know, like Leonardo DiCaprio, man. Listen, I saw The Revenant. He won an Oscar for it. Great actor. The bear scene, you know. Great actor. He asked me for a cigarette one night in Hollywood. I did not have a cigarette because I don't smoke, but seemed like a decent guy. But wow, what a huge hypocrite he is. He flew 8,000 miles on a private jet to pick up an environmental award. He rented the fifth largest yacht in the world to just go screw around with, you know, with Victoria's Secret's models, which, listen, I'm not trying to be a hater here. And I'm not even saying don't go rent the fifth largest yacht. And I'm not even saying don't go get in your private jet. Like, look, do whatever, do what you want to do. You got the money. Those are the things that interest you. It's none of my business. Where it becomes not even really my business, but where you put yourself in a position for where I'm allowed to now have an opinion on you, even though I don't know you, is when you get up on stage and start talking about saving the environment and saving the fucking planet, and you're flying around on a private jet and renting the fifth largest yacht in the world. Then it becomes hypocritical. Like, if you want to do those things and just be Ben Affleck and just not ever even pretend to give a fuck about anything. I like Ben, by the way. Ben invested in my company. I will forever be indebted to Ben, even though I never met him. But, you know, but my point is be who you want, be who you are, right? But don't be an activist if you're a hypocrite. And that's what we get into. We get a lot of that. John Travolta has 5 private jets. And I'm assuming none of them are electric or water powered, right? But he still manages to find time to lecture the world on being more responsible with burning fossil fuels. Once again, burn fossil fuels in your front fucking yard for all I care, right? But just don't go on television and then tell me not to do it. That's where I have the problem. You know, it'd be like if John Travolta came out and, like, right after he said, don't burn a bunch of fossil fuels, he was like, hey, listen, I'm endorsing this really great shampoo and conditioner for my hair. And you're like, you have been wearing a wig for 3 decades and we all know it. So stop doing that. It's not the wig part, but the hypocrisy part. So, you know, culture allows for a lot of this. Society sort of embraces this. They people lose sight of this. Like, their hypocrisy is sort of like, they're, you know, oh, we're gonna listen to what you have to say. You're a celebrity now, right? You're a celebrity. We're gonna listen to what you have to say. For some reason, we've decided we're gonna listen to what celebrities have to say because they clearly, I see them on TV, so they must know something more than me, right? So let's listen to what they have to say. Say whatever you want to say. But just know this. If you say one thing and do another, which is the definition of hypocrisy, and you're in the public eye, we'll notice. And then a book will come out that basically itemizes all this shit. In 2012, Lady Gaga launched the Body Revolution campaign that encouraged her fans to embrace their perceived flaws. Then 3 months later, went on Twitter to complain about how much weight she gained during the holidays. You understand? See what I'm saying? Rosie O'Donnell came out and said that anyone that owns a gun should be put in prison. But then when it was brought to her attention that her bodyguard carries a gun, she said, oh, in that case, it was all right because he's trained. Celebrities are fair game in this. More than fair game. Paris Hilton, back in 2004, she started a campaign called Vote or Die, in which she encouraged young people to get involved and vote. But the problem was she was not actually registered to vote, did not vote in the last election, and actually had never voted in her entire life. Do you understand that it's really hard to take these people seriously when it takes about 7 minutes to fact check what they said and you can discover that their whole persona is just fake? So we're going to talk about that. And I'm going to talk about the woke mob too. And oh, am I going to talk about the woke mob? I mean, the double standard is standard with these people. put a good quote in there from Edmund Burke. He said, "Hypocrisy can afford to be magnificent in its promises. For never intending to go beyond promises, it costs nothing." And the woke mob is magnificent in their promises. They really are. They're going to save the world. Don't you know? They're going to save the entire world. You know, they fought so hard to get rid of plastic straws. You know, McDonald's, you go to McDonald's, they get a plastic straw and a paper wrapper. You know what they've done now? They've changed it. They've fixed the world. They've now made it so that you can get paper straws. Do you know what kind of wrappers they come in? Plastic wrappers. It's like we're living in a fucked up simulation that we can't seem to turn off. You know what I mean? You're just like, where is the exit? Like, get me out of here. Stop this planet. I want to get off. Oh, you say you fixed the plastic straws and paper wrapping problem? Yes, we've come up with paper straws and plastic wrapping. Okay, I'm out of here. Fuck. Goodbye. Thank you. I hate this place. Nothing works here. This is insanity, you see? So if you're anything like me, you see these things out in the wild, right? And you go, you like look both ways. You go like, is someone fucking with me? You know, like this is a hidden camera show, right? Like I've spent the better part of a year feeling like I'm in a hidden camera show. Like I'm waiting for everyone to be like, oh, we were just joking about the COVID stuff. Man, we saw you wearing those, all you people wearing those masks. We were just kidding, right? I feel like any minute now that's going to happen, right? Ashton Kutcher is going to come out and go, oh, you got punked. And we're all going to go, oh, it was so crazy the way you made me shut down my entire life and all that stuff and all those kids that killed themselves. But it's real. And we're having to live through this. And these agenda, you know, the... And it, look, it's not even just limited to the woke mob, you know, the woke mob that can't throw the Molotov cocktails the right way. It's big business and institutions that are pandering to the woke mob. They might actually be the most dangerous because they actually make decisions and change their policies and do things like this. Like the American Psychological Society has declared that traditional masculinity is a mental disorder. Okay. It's masculinity is a mental disorder. Now, if someone just comes up to you and says that, you just go, well, that's not true. But when the American Psychological Society makes that declaration, they then change paperwork and change books and everything and change laws and change policies. And they make it so that when you now look at a list of mental disorders, one of the additional things on there that you can pick from, presumably, I don't know, is traditional masculinity. Be like, oh, that guy over there at the gym, that guy that's, you know, inclining 275 over there, like, hey, look at that. I think that guy suffers from a classic case of traditional masculinity. We got to put that guy in a padded cell. He looks dangerous to himself and others. You know, this is, I mean, I'm obviously joking about this, but can we not see the direction where this could go? And I don't want to give out, you know, too much of the book, but let's just say that I'll just let you know that all 53 of the genders that you can pick on Facebook are listed in the book. And if you're wondering, oh, so all 53 of these genders make perfect sense? The answer is no, they do not. And I'm not even saying that as like some guy trying to be a jerk. I mean, one of the 53 genders is transsexual male. And then another one of the 53 genders is transsexual man. I don't know. I can't help you on that. But I think the book is going to have to be put in like a classification where it's, like society. Like when it goes up for sale, it's going to make me pick what category I want to put it in. And so it's going to have to be like society or something. But I feel like it could fit in a variety of categories. It's funny. I mean, there's funny. It's funny. Not even necessarily because I make it funny. It's just funny because the stuff that's in it is just it's funny on its face. You know, it's funny that if you're in San Francisco and you walking your dog and you don't pick up your dog shit, you can be fined $320. For not picking up your dog shit. But it is legal to shit as a human being on that same sidewalk. So you can do it and it's fine, but your dog doesn't and it's a $320 fine. That's funny. I can't make that any funnier than it is. It's already maximum funny, you know? So I feel like part of it should be in like the comedy section too. It's just because this stuff is so crazy that it's that you have to laugh. And the last section, the last of the tentacles, has to do with wars and military policy. This is a little bit less funny than the woke chapters, but just as serious, because our foreign policy is psychotic at best. And, well, it, you know, I point out some of the structural flaws with the way the American government is set up, the way the money is allocated, the way wars are always financed, the people that cheerlead for wars, the way that we've privatized it in a sense, we've made their, you know, we've created the military and what used to be called the military industrial complex. Berwick and I renamed the military information terror complex because it's broadened, you know, it's way more than what it used to just be. It now involves the big tech companies, the privatization of the military through Triple Canopy and Blackwater, Xi Academy, whatever the name du jour is of that operation, private mercenary groups, you know what I'm talking about. And so there's a lot of hypocrisy in the way we handle wars and foreign policy, and you better believe I've pointed it out, kicked it in the teeth a little bit, and exposed it for what it is. So I think that you know, if you like The Octopus of Global Control, and that was book number one, that came out in August of 2017, that has been a book that I think a lot of people kind of get first because it covers so many topics. It's so broad. Jeff Berwick and I put out The Controlled Demolition of the American Empire on, it came out the last Friday of October, 2020. And 4 days later on Election Tuesday, it was a number one bestseller in the United States and in Australia. And I think that hypocrisy is going to follow in that path. It is so, this is not a book that you have to give that is for conspiracy theorists. This is what will turn normies into conspiracy theorists. This is the book you give to people that think you're crazy. Because when they get done with it, they're going to be like, I can't believe that book was so funny. And you're going to be like, yeah, it's funny because it's true. And it's funny because you read through the whole book and now you can never unknow that stuff. You can never unknow that I laid out a, you know, one after another of the government and the media and the woke mob and the businesses and your churches and the military all saying to do one thing and then doing the exact opposite when they think you're not watching. We're allowed to laugh at this stuff. Hell, we need to laugh at this stuff. Keep from crying, right? I'll give you more details. When the book is released, you'll obviously be the first to know. The writing is done. It's just being formatted now. So we'll get that out to you. If you're interested in connecting with the show, if you're interested in requesting one of those free helium miners through that company, I can hook that up for you if you want that earthquake kit. Again, the email address to do that, theoctopusofglobalcontrol@protonmail.com, or you can just go through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com, and you can send me a note that way. I really hope you enjoy this book when it comes out. We're working on the cover art right now. I think if the cover winds up looking the way I have it in my head, it'll be a nice visual representation of this mess that we've got ourselves in. Thanks, everybody. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.